So my name is Ray Souza, and I'm in today for our good friend and pastor, Drew. It's always a pleasure just to share God's word with my brothers and sisters. As you know, and I love to say, like, we need to open God's word because I'm telling you, God's words preach, right? God's words, it's alive, and when we open up God's word, God, He wants to speak with us. He wants to, you know, through His Holy Spirit, He wants to minister to us. So I love. A long time ago, I preached a message, I think it was in Brazil, and the title was Turn to, because that's, we don't do this anymore. We go like, you know, maybe a few of us, we are still turning pages, but I can't preach that message anymore, turn to. It's like, how would that be these days? Like, swipe to. Okay, swipe to, touch to, whatever. I still like turn to the pages of God's Word. So, last week, as Rachel said, Drew was like finishing this series called Uncomfortable, where we were talking about things that it's really uncomfortable to talk about. And last week, he talked about generosity and more specific about money. And I thought it was good because I don't know about you, money, it's a very strong thing that can really like grab a hold of us, you know, sometimes more than our faith and our trust in Jesus, right? So it's very, very important for us to learn and see what are God's thoughts about like money and about a heart of generosity, which is the heart of God. So I thought about doing something else because we were transitioning into gratitude for this season. But if you don't mind, I would like to park a little bit on generosity, but it's not going to be about money because generosity, as we know, it's way more than money, right? It's way more than money. It is, you know, it has to do with money as well, but it's way more than that. So today, if you allow me, I would like to just share with us and encouraging us a little bit more about generosity. And before we do that, let's just pray. Father, right now we do call upon your name and we call upon your Holy Spirit to inspire your words to us. Give us ears to hear, give us a heart open, and give us a will to act on upon what we're going to be hearing, what your Spirit is going to be pressing upon our hearts. So, Father, help us never to just hear your word, but always have a ready will to obey and a ready will to apply your word in our lives. And be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, long, long time ago, someone read this poem, and I would like to open with this poem. And I love this poem so much. It's about others. That I made a copy, a little cute copy, and I have some people that will help me to pass it on. Maybe like one per family. You can put it somewhere in your house that you like. I carry in my Bible for many, many years. But I love this poem. And I like to talk about generosity today, talking about others. And this was a poem that was written long, long time ago by this man called Charles Meeks. How do you pronunciate this? Meeks. Okay, Meeks. Let's go with Meeks. And he wrote this beautiful, beautiful, powerful poem that I love. And if you got a copy, I also have a picture here of the same one, and I would like to read. And it goes like this. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs to be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I have won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. Isn't that beautiful? There is not much to know about Charles Meeks, but if you research a little bit, he was inspired when he wrote this poem. He was inspired by this general of the Salvation Army, Burlington Booth was his name. And this was like the end of the 1800s, beginning of 1900s. And Burlington Booth was the son of William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, by the way. And one day, General Burlington Booth, he sent his message. Actually, he moved here to the U.S., him and his wife from England, and they became the overseer of the Salvation Army operations here in the United States. And on January 1st, 1908, General Burlington Booth, he dispatched this one word only. In January, beginning of a new year, and the word was others. Others. That was the only word that he dispatched. And Charles Meek, you know, he heard that, and he got the message, and he sat down, and he wrote this beautiful, beautiful, amazing poem. And I was thinking, you know, who better to exemplify to us what we just read in this poem than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? I mean, he was the one that lived a life of beauty and power because he lived his life for others. We know he gave his life for us, and then he's inviting us. I love Ephesians 5:1. It says this, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us, and he gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Also in Matthew 20:28, we read that just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That was the heart of our Savior. He came into this world to obey his Father, for sure, but he came into this world with a mission to save us, to save the world of creation that God created. And he had us in mind when he came to his mission here. I mean, think with me, like, you know, Jesus, who was the second person of the Trinity, you know, he was one with God, we know that. He was the creator of everything, the redeemer of everything. He is known as the Alpha and the Omega. He came here and lived his life with a mission and purpose to obey his Father, but to bless others. That was in his heart. That was in his mind. Throughout his whole ministry here on earth, it was me and you. It was others. In the Acts of the Apostles, you know, the Acts, it's a historical book that tells the origins of the spread of Christianity. We are told in verse 1, it says this, Acts 1:1, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything that Jesus began, and pay attention to this one, Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. Jesus here on earth, even before he taught many things, he did many things. He was about doing it. He was about serving. And that was his heart. You know, contrary to that, unfortunately, you know, we live in days where we do have a lot of teaching, but not necessarily a lot of doing, not necessarily a lot of like living out what we are teaching and preaching. But our Savior, Jesus Christ, one thing that impresses all of us, it was how he lived his life as a given life. And he did many things. And he served. He loved. More than a teacher, you know, Jesus, he was a doer. Right? And people from all walk of life saw Jesus Christ just like serving with a towel, you know, in his arm, just like serving and taking opportunities to be with people and serve. You remember when he saw the multitude that was hungry, he gave them food. When he saw people that were sick, Jesus healed them. Jesus, he, you know, on purpose, he spent his time with people. He ate with people. He rested with people. Even resting, he rested with people because his mission was for others. Even in his most difficult time, when he was at the cross, suffering what he was suffering, taking upon himself all our sins, Jesus took the time upon the cross to think about others. I don't know if you remember, sometimes when we watch the movies, those scenes become like some crystal clear, you know, but right there with all the suffering, God about to turn his back on his son because he was taking upon the sin of humanity. You know, Jesus took the time to look at his mom, his mother, Mary, and his brother, and he said, you know, take care of Mary. And he said in John 19:20-27, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple knew what he was talking about. And he took her to his own home. And not only that, upon the cross, you know, when those were like blaspheming Jesus, you know, what did you say that you were going to do? You said that you were going to destroy this temple in 3 days, and there you are. You know, what are you going to do? And this was his words in Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Thinking about others. Living for others was the mission of our Saviors. He came not to be served. He came to serve and to give his life for many. And we are encouraged. We are, you know, called by God to follow God's example, to follow Christ's example by walking in love and by being ready to serve. And that is generosity. That is generosity. Right after I heard that poem for the first time, and there was a message as well preached, that made such a highly impact in my life because, you know, I was in Bible college and I had dreams and I was young. And that message kind of like made me, you know, to focus my life in a way that was not my natural tendency to do. You know, our natural tendency, it's really like to put us first, right? But here we are invited, and it seems like God and Jesus, our Savior, it's asking us to be occupied with him and the concerns of his hearts, which is to others. And there is a tremendous power when we take on this heart, when we live our lives for the purpose of others. We are, you know, in Philippians 2:3, it says this: do nothing from self-ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. And then verse 4, it says, and let each one of you, not looking into his own interest, but also into the interests of others. Others. I don't know about you, but, you know, naturally speaking, I'm a selfish person. I am. You know, it comes, most of the time, it comes me first, but thank God for the Holy Spirit inside of us, and thank God for God's words. Then when we are about to act naturally, we can hear the still small voice saying, you know what? Maybe this is not what I want you to do. And you guys know, you know, God, He has given us freedom, right? He has given us freedom to do whatever we want. We do have freedom. Christ gave us that freedom. And Paul, when he was talking to some believers about, you know, the freedom that we have in 1 Corinthians 10, 23 and 24, you know, he said this, you know, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. And I love how the Message Bible puts this verse. It's really cool. It says this, because of God's immense generosity and grace, we don't have to dissect and scrutinize every action to see if it will pass muster. But the point is not to just get by. We want to live well, but our foremost efforts should be to help others live well. And that's the heart of our Father. And that was the heart of our Savior. And just as an example of this message, I'll never forget as well, you know, one of our friends in Bible college, this lady that came to our church with a lot of problems, a lot of hurts, a lot of like messed up big time, you know, seeing like doctors and counselors and dealing with some drugs as well. And just a lot happening in her world. And the beauty was to see, you know, when she read this poem and heard this message about others, was to see how by shifting her life to just like be consumed with what she was going through. And she was going through a lot. She was abused as a young lady. But as soon as she shifted her focus from herself and to the opportunities to serve others, it was when finally her healings started to take place in her life. It was when finally she was able to, you know, see the light at the end of the tunnel. And it was beautiful to see each day, you know, her being like set free, but not being like introvert in her problems, but to be, you know, looking out, of course, to her Savior, but to those that her Savior was pointing to her. And that was how she got to have her life transformed, was to start living her life not more as a victim, but as a victorious person in Christ Jesus. And she was a blessing, a tremendous blessing, by serving others, by just shifting from self and all that was there, that it was real, but she shifted. And she saw the opportunities to look upon other people, other needs. And that was how God brought her healing. And healing. And I believe, you know, the same thing can happen to us as well. I believe that, you know, sometimes it's really like when we change the focus from ourselves, you know, to like God and to like, you know, who God is, other lives that God is working, I believe that there is a tremendous power. I believe that God can use that in our own lives many times. Just that little shift of focus from our own self to others. You know, sometimes we can be better used by God by just changing that focus. Sometimes, you know, the whole weight of the world that we are carrying upon ourselves can start to diminish by changing the focus from ourselves and our problems to others that God is guiding us to look upon. Going back to the poem, it says this, "Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like thee." And as we think about generosity, you know, the heart of God, it's a heart of generosity. And it's a heart that it's lived, you know, for others. Serving, loving, encouraging. And here we are, you know, as brothers and sisters, God has placed us in this community. And God is looking around, you know, to bless people. But guess what? He is going to use each one of us. We are the light of the world. We are, and God wants us to be, you know, His hands, to be His feet wherever we go, to be His mouthpiece. What a beauty for us to, you know, give someone a hand. What a beauty for us to give someone our ears. What a beautiful thing for us to be able to, you know, hear and then bring up some words of encouragement. What a beautiful thing to give, you know, sometimes our shoulders to help someone to carry the load that they are carrying on. What a beauty. And see, that doesn't cost anything. It costs life. It may cost our time, but guess what? It's perfect part of God's plan for our lives, a life lived for others. I love 2 Corinthians 5:15. It says this, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them, and it was raised." And verse 17 goes on to say, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." And this is part of the new things. I'm not first anymore. God is first, and His plan is first. And I am trying to understand and trying to embrace daily and to abide and to follow Him in obedience. And guess what? When we do that, we see ourselves free. Maybe sometimes from our own selves, but able to be a blessing in God's hand. And this is part of being the new creation in Christ Jesus. This is part of the new things that God has in store for all of us. See, generosity, it's really not all about money. It is way much more. And the good thing is that we can all give, we can all participate, we can all be a blessing, a great, great blessing. At the end of the day, Matthew 10:8 says this, "Freely you have received, and then freely we are called to give." And if you remember in Genesis 12, when the father of our faith, Abraham in Hebrews, he was called the father of our faith, right? Abraham trusted God for some crazy, crazy plan to live the place that he lived and to go to a place that God said, "By the way, as you go, I'm going to show you where I want you to go." And Abraham trusts God. Abraham believed God in such a way that God used people in the future, you know, to write the book of Hebrews. And Abraham is called the father of our faith. And the father of our faith, Abraham, in Genesis 12, it says this, you know, the Lord called Abram to go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I like this part. And you will be a blessing. And if we are following in the footsteps of our father in the faith, Abraham, and I believe in a certain way, we are. You know what? All of us, God is calling us. I have blessed you, and I want you to go and be a blessing. What a plan to live our lives. To go and be a blessing. I love how the King James Version put this verse. It says, be thou a blessing. Be thou a blessing. Each one of us can be that blessing, wrapped in different package, right? And this is the beauty of it. We are wrapped. God wrapped us differently. I'm looking from here, and we are all different, even though sometimes we can look like a little bit. But we are all different. God made us, you know, who we are. And God placed inside of us, you know, His heart. And He gave us gifts. And He gave us talents. And He gave us a will. And here we are following Him with a purpose. To glorify Him and to be a blessing. Hey, if you ever think that you have no purpose in your life, that's a big lie. You have a purpose. And this purpose from God is to be a blessing to others. Be a blessing to others. And maybe, you know, from time to time we can think like, you know, Ray, but if I live my life, you know, this way, you know, who is going to take care of myself? If I don't try to, you know, do it on my own, who is going to do it? Well, this is the thing that it's like incredible, hard sometimes to understand. But I'm telling you, I am convinced that God's math is completely different than our own math. You know, He doesn't add like we add. The incredible thing about God is like, you know, when we bless others, God, He takes care of the things that we are concerned about. When we care about helping other people, God is the one that assumes the responsibility to care for us and for our problems. And that's a real blessing for us. And I don't know about you, but I do think that God is way better than me to solve my own problems and situations and difficulties. You know, God probably knows a little better than me, and He's more capable than me. So why not doing that exchange? Okay, God, you're going to take care of me. What do you want me to do? And I'm telling you, you know, you can even like try it and see. God is faithful to what He calls us to do. He is faithful. He called us, and the promise that we have is that He will do it. He will do it. If you don't mind, I would like to read this poem once again. And the poem goes like this. I think I have here. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs to be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done, and my new work in heaven is begun, may I forget the crown I have won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live like thee. And here we are, you know, it's the end of the year is coming. It's one of my favorite seasons. Me and you, we have a great opportunity to be a blessing, to glorify our God by being a blessing to other people. And the reward that we have in doing that is just amazing. And we do not do it for any reward itself, but even that is promised to us. You know, even that, like, I love, like, Luke 6:38, it says, give it, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shake it together, running over, it will pour into your lap. I mean, can God be more descriptive than in this verse? For with the measure that you use, you will be measured. And then the Message Bible paraphrase like this, give away your life and you will find life given back. But not merely given back with a bonus and a blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. And guess what? That is great news for us today, isn't it? That's great news for us today. Amen? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to follow you and to serve you, Lord. Father, we look back in our lives and we think about the people that believe this message and believe in such a way that their lives made a huge impact in our own lives. They gave their lives away, and you use it in such an extraordinary way that for some of us, we are here today because of that. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, and here we are today, and we are here to renew our faith in you, Lord, together as brothers and sisters. And Father, when it comes to generosity, may our generosity be as big as the Creator of the universe, as big as the heart of God inside of each one of us. And Father, it's not really like how much. Sometimes it's a very little thing in short, short opportunities that we can make your light shine and be a tremendous blessing for someone else. So, Father, here we are today, and you know how we walked in here today. You know what was in our minds and in our hearts. And you have a desire, Lord, for all of us to keep on following you, to keep on believing you and living out the truth of the love letter that you gave us. But Father, also thank you. Thank you for helping us to focus where we need to be focused, which is you. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have, that you give us to serve you by serving others. Father, I pray this day that this November and December could be like the best month of our lives. A month where we're going to see you in our own lives, see your faithfulness, see your blessing, and the moment that we're going to be able to let that overflow to others around us, husband and wives, in the family with kids, in the neighborhood that you place us, in the church, in the community, at work, at school, whatever, Lord, you place us. May we be like the father of our faith, Abraham. May we believe and be just like him, a blessing, knowing that you are the one that will be empowering us, that will be guiding us, that will be showing us the way. Father, just like it happened for that friend of mine, this can be healing for some of us here today. A life spent to your glory and for the sake of others. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you so much.